I adore this line right here. When this world ceases to be, eternal blood will speak for me. Don't you love that? Man. How merciful. Go with me, if you would, back to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah 1, we looked at the whole story of Jonah a couple of weeks ago. And in order to get through the whole story in one message, we had to move very quickly. It was a very fast-paced message. But there was something that stood out to me whenever we studied it and went through that, and I didn't have time to focus on it. But it honestly was such a blessing to my heart. It was so, so helpful. So helpful. And I want us to look at it tonight. And I sincerely pray, I sincerely beg that the Lord will make it as much of a blessing and as much of a help to you as it has been to me. This has been so, so helpful to me. Now, we know that Jonah is a picture of both us and Christ. He's a picture of man, the sinner, us, and he's a picture of the justifier of the sinner, the substitute for the sinner, Christ. And that's why when we got to verse 12, I only read the first half of that verse in the scripture reading. The second half of that verse is a sinful man speaking. It says at the end of verse 12, I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, it tells us that Adam lived to be 930 years old. That's a long time. We are so distraught over 70 years. We're so just torn all to pieces over 70. Adam lived 930 years. 930 years. Adam saw what a sinless earth looks like. Right? Adam saw, Adam witnessed. Adam named the animals. He named the lions and the... He saw exactly what a sinless earth looks like. Can you imagine the guilt that he carried with him for 900 and something years? However long it was after the fall. However long it took for him to fall. Can you imagine the guilt he carried with him for 900 years? 900 and something years. Everything that he saw, everything that happened, he said in his own mind, I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. I know it is. We can say the exact same thing. We say the exact same thing. I do not blame Adam for the fact that my children have been visited with iniquity. I don't blame Adam for that. By one man, sin entered the world, yes. But I do not blame Adam. I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon them. It's my fault. It is my father's fault, and it is my grandfather's fault. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That's what makes this picture of Jonah so beautiful. So beautiful. Jonah revealing the words of our Savior. And I am begging the Lord to let us enter into this. Jonah revealing the words of our Savior at the beginning of this verse. And listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Him speak right here. Verse 12, He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. The sea is sin. The sea is the wrath of God against the sin. He said, throw me down into the heart of the sin. You throw me right down into the middle of the sin. Cast me forth into the ocean of God's wrath. So shall the sin and so shall the wrath be calm unto you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, we are about to, and I wrote down these three words in my notes. We are about to actively, fervently, and I pray passionately read some scripture. All right? Actively. Let's not passively read this. Okay? Let's actively, fervently, passionately read some scripture. And every word we read, every single word we read, let's listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, crying it out of the depths of the sin and the wrath and the punishment that He was thrown into while He was in the bottom of it for our sakes, so that all these things would be calm to us. The depths, the sin, the wrath, the punishment, so it all be calm to us. Now here He is, thrown into the bottom of it. And this is what He cries. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Isn't that where it started? He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And as He entered into this great fish of sin and death and hell and the grave, this is what He said. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Isn't that what God Almighty said? He begged His Father to let that cup of suffering pass from Him, didn't He? He cried, why have You forsaken me? Verse 17, right here in Jonah 1, says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane on a Thursday night. He began sweating, as it were, great drops of blood on a Thursday night. He was engulfed by, and He fell down on His face under the weight of sin on a Thursday night. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 days, 3 nights. Now let's read some scripture. And let's listen to the very words. These are recorded by God Almighty. These are the very words our Lord cried out to God His Father for 3 whole days and 3 whole nights. This is what He cried. All right, let's read every bit of this as the words of the Lord Himself. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, then the substitute prayed unto Jehovah, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Now, hold your place right there. And turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 7 says, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." This is our Lord speaking. This is our Lord speaking. Verse 11, He said, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about." Did our Lord not die for a number no man can number? How many sins did each one of those commit? He said in verse 12, "Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." Verse 17, He said, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Please, please don't wait. Please come quickly. Hold your place and go back to the text. Jonah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Hold your place and go to Psalm 42. Now this is our Lord speaking. This is our Lord speaking. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Verse 7 says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Hold your place and go back to the text. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Hold your place and go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Is this not our Lord? "Into thy hand I commend my spirit." Look what he says in verse 9. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity." Did he not take that for his own? Mine iniquity and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Can you imagine him listening to the slander? Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Hold your place and go back to the text. Chapter 2, verse 5 says, The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Hold your place and go to Psalm 69. Verse 1 says, Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Look at verse 14. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for Thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, and hide not Thy face from Thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Verse 20, he said, Reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Is this not our Savior? Look at verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let Thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. Now listen to this turn right here. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. What he's saying is, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to accomplish these things. Verse 31, This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. And watch verse 32. The humble shall see this and be glad. That's what he said to God while he laid in that grave. This is going to accomplish what the blood of bulls and goats could never accomplish. And the humble is going to see this. They're going to look back on this the rest of their lives. And they're going to be so glad. I'll endure it. They're going to be so glad. And we are, aren't we? Hold your place and go back to the text. Chapter 2, verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Go back to the text. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. One more place to turn. Go with me to Lamentations chapter 3. After Isaiah, after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3. Now, I have always read Lamentations chapter 3 as our Lord speaking it. Verse 1 says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. That's Christ. I have always, all of these horrible things that he endures, I've always read this as our Lord speaking it. But for some reason, every time I get to verse 21, I have always changed it and read that as us speaking it. I read it as Christ speaking it up to verse 20, and then I've always changed it and read verse 21 on as us speaking it. This is the first time I've ever read these verses as being the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And they're glorious. They are glorious. Listen to His union with us. This is just glorious. Listen to Him speaking on our behalf. Him speaking from the grave, completely united with our condition. Not only speaking for us, but speaking with us. Did we not die with Him? Were we not buried with Him? Were we not there with Him? Listen to Him speaking for us, with us. Lamentations 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind. This is Christ speaking. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, with that glorious deliverance being declared, because of the suffering of Christ for us, and the glory and the salvation and the life that we now have in Him, because of what He did, and because God said in Jonah 4, verse 11, should not I spare? Isn't that how He closed the whole the whole book. Should not I spare? Because of that, there's a word of comfort that every spared sinner can apply to his daily walk in this life. And this ought to really help us when we need it most. Okay, this is what I wanted to tell you. And I'm closing with this. But this is what I wanted to tell you. For a child of God, the ocean of sin and wrath is gone. The ocean of sin and wrath is gone. For a child of God, for a soul that God laid in that grave and cried all these things for, it's gone. There is no more sea. Isn't that what Revelation says? There's no more sea. This great ocean of sin, this great ocean of wrath, that Jonah, being the picture, was dropped down into. God said, there's no more sea. Gone. But our Lord said, in the world, you are still going to have tribulation. You are still going to suffer a while. You're still going to. The trials and the pain and the heartache, they are still going to come. And for our help, for our comfort, for the difficult times in life that come so often, they come so, so often. Listen to the voice of our Savior. This is a practical application. Listen to the voice of our Savior. Listen to the one who saved us. Listen to His words of comfort and help and apply this as often as you can. Okay? Go back to our text one more time. This time, Jonah 1, Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. Every time something comes up, every time, something comes up that is overwhelming to you every single time. Knowing what Christ endured for us. Knowing that He controls it all. Knowing that He has ordered every piece of it for our good and for His glory. Why is this happening? Our good and His glory. Whatever is overwhelming you to the point that you think it's going to drag you down to the bottom, down to the depths, our Lord says to every single one of His children, take me up and cast me forth into the midst of that sea. And that ocean, that overwhelming flood, will be calm unto you. Whatever it is, take me up and cast me into the middle of it, and it'll be calm unto you. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know, Christ secured me eternally. What difference does it make what I have to suffer in this life? If eternity is settled, that's all I need to know. Christ has secured me a place with Him. Christ is in control of every bit of this. How often do we say, oh no, didn't I just say this in a message last week or this morning? I'm always saying this because it's always true. We get so much faith, go back out into the world, and then we're so crushed. Our Lord said, you take me up and you cast me into the middle of it. And when you do that, you will realize Christ is in control of this. Christ is ordering this. This is for my good and His glory. Let's see, would I would have changed this? Would I want it to be for my bad and His disgrace? No. He said, you take me up, whatever it is, you cast me into the middle of it, it'll be calm to you. It'll be absolutely calm to you. All I have to do is trust Him. He's in control. He ordered this. My good is coming from it. His glory is going to take place. And all I have to do is trust Him. Sit, wait and trust. He said, you cast me into the heart of it. It'll be calm to you. That's all we have to do. Doesn't it work every time? You know what? He is in control of this. He did order this. That's right. A sparrow can't fall to the ground unless he gets permission. He's in control. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You cast your burden on me. Cast your burden on me. Whatever you're burdened down with, you bring that burden to me and I will dive head first right into the heart of it. And I'll make that burden calm to you. And I will say to that sea of trouble, peace, be still. I will. You come to me. You come to me and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. And it's the truth. It is so true. This is a practical, practical application. In 5 minutes, when you need it, take him up and cast him right into the middle of it at his command. Whatever it is, take me up, cast me into the middle of it, and it'll be calm unto you. Calm, calm. Don't you love how every time they were with him, it was a great calm? David said, he leads me beside still water. Great calm. I pray the Lord will teach us to do that. Don't let it go in this ear and out this ear. Lord, teach me to do that. Teach me to do that. We're about to sing a song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He said, you take me up. You cast me into the middle of it. It'll be calm to you. It'll be calm. Let's all stand together.